listeners, and welcome back to This Week in Black History, Society, and Culture, a podcast of the Black and African Diaspora Forum of Monmouth University. I'm Hetty B. Williams, your host. Today on This Week in Black History, Society, and Culture, we have Reverend Dr. Danielle Hunter, pastor of the Bethel AME Church in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you so much for taking out some time, and I'm sure a busy day, to speak with me about African Americans in Asbury Park and the impact of COVID-19. First, we will discuss Dr. Hunter's background and experience as pastor of the AME Church. Then we will discuss further Asbury Park, New Jersey, and the impact of COVID-19 on the African American community. This show was made possible through funding from Monmouth University's Urban Coast Institute's Heidi Lynn Sculthorpe Faculty Enrichment Grant, Just and Sustainable Community Recovery After COVID-19. So Dr. Hunter, tell us a little bit about your background, including your educational experiences and work as a reverend in the AME Church.
Okay, well, I answered the call to ministry in 1993. That was 28 years ago. And when I was in college, felt a call on my life. And it was after college, it was 3 years after graduating from college, that I answered that call. So I've been again in ministry for 28 years. My ministry has looked a lot different than the ministries of other pastors, other people in ministry. For 17 years, I was able to serve in different areas of ministry other than the pastorate. And so I've served in chaplaincy, different areas of chaplaincy ministry, hospital, hospice, long-term care, correctional chaplaincy. And it was 17 years into the ministry that I felt called to pastor. And so I'm kind of a newbie when it comes to pastoring. I've been pastoring since 2010, and I have pastored three congregations. I started out pastoring a congregation in Salem County. I was there for a little over 3 years, and then I went to a congregation in Union County. I was there for 10 months. And then in April of 2014, I was appointed to serve as the pastor of Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Asbury Park. And so I just went into my seventh year pastoring Bethel Asbury Park.
So were you born and raised in New Jersey, or did you just, you know, come to New Jersey to pastor the church or the various churches?
I was born on the Aberdeen Proving Ground in Aberdeen, Maryland, an Army facility. And at an early age, my mother relocated back to New Jersey. She was born and she was raised in New Jersey. And so I was raised in Rahway, New Jersey, in Union County, and lived there into my early adulthood. And so New Jersey is home. Rahway is home. Union County is home.
Okay. So North Jersey is famous for, you know, several Black women ministers. A recent book that came out about two Black women in particular from Summit, New Jersey. So that makes me think about people like Florence Spearing Randolph. And so what made you can we talk a little bit more about that? What made you decide to become a minister?
Well, again, it was in college that I really felt God calling me into ministry. And I grew up in an AME church. I grew up in church, and it was an AME church. And my paternal grandparents, who were from North Carolina, they were Baptist, and so I And from childhood through early adulthood, through my teens, spent all of my summers in North Carolina with my paternal grandparents, and they were Baptists. And so church has always been a big part of my life and a big part of who I am. And so, again, felt at a young age that call into ministry, into serving God's people and sharing the gospel message, and just knew that it was a matter of time before the Lord would have me to step out into that calling. And I waited until I heard from him and did just that in 1993.
So your family has a long history in the connection to the AME Church, it seems. Can you tell us anything about the history of the AME Church that you're aware of, or even the one in Asbury Park?
Well, certainly the African Methodist Episcopal Church as a whole has a very rich history. The denomination was born in protest against racial segregation in the church when Richard Allen, who would become the first bishop of the AME Church, when in 1787 he led a group of black worshipers out of St. George's Methodist Episcopal Church in Philadelphia. And you know, that was because of the way that they had been treated, because of the harsh treatment they had received from white worshipers on a Sunday morning during worship. And during prayer at that. And so the legacy of the African Methodist Episcopal Church is really, again, it's unique, it's rich, and I'm very proud to be AME. Bethel, Asbury Park, has a rich history as well. Bethel is actually the oldest black congregation in Asbury Park. It's one of the oldest churches in Asbury Park, but it is the oldest black congregation in Asbury Park. We are 152 years old. The church was incorporated in July of 1879. It was organized in 1869, but incorporated on July 10th of 1879. And for a while, and I believe this is still the case, Bethel was the only black church to be located on the east side of Asbury Park. We are no longer on the east side, but at one time we were on the east side until we moved to our current site on the west side in 1949, it was. And so Bethel has a rich history in Asbury Park. I'm very proud of Bethel's history as well.
Yes, you actually answered my next question already, this whole idea of AME Church as the Liberation Church, you know, the roots of Black liberation theology and ideas about Black freedom are certainly heavily connected to the AME Church. So that's a really rich history, not only in, I think, North America, the oldest Black church in North America, but also in the city of Asbury Park. So this takes me to something. Well, I was raised a Pentecostal. My dad eventually joined the AME Church. My mom remained a Pentecostal. So in the Pentecostal church, one of the great controversies, of course, is the involvement of women. And so I wanted to get into this question. Although there's a long history of women active in the Black church, oftentimes churches like the Pentecostal church, women are not allowed to have high leadership positions. But the AME Church, with its making of Vashti Murphy McKenzie a bishop in 2000, what are your thoughts about women, AME Church, women in the Black Church?
Well, women have always played a pivotal role in the Black Church. When you look out into a congregation, when you survey a congregation, survey the sanctuary on a Sunday morning in any Black church, most of the congregants in the pews are women. And historically, women were the backbone of the church, and they remain the backbone of the church today. And so I believe that it is very critical for women to be in leadership positions in the church at all levels, including serving as pastors and serving as bishops. Women in ministry are as gifted and talented and capable as our male counterparts in ministry, and, you know, have every right to serve in any position in the church at any level.
I'm thinking about the history of the AME church, and I would say it's been more progressive, certainly, than a Pentecostal church and other Black churches in allowing women to have specific roles, which I guess could be debated. But I'm thinking about Jerenna Lee and her standing up in the church and saying, you know, God called me. And she writes about it in her spiritual biography, which is a very powerful testimony, I think, to the role of Black women in the church and how God uses women in the church. So how did you come to pastor AME Bethel Church in Asbury Park in particular?
Well, I was appointed at the time, as I shared earlier, I was pastoring in Union County. I was pastoring St. Mark AME Church in Union County, and I had been there 10 months, and we had gone to our annual AME meeting. We call it annual conference. And we had gone to annual conference in April of 2014. I had been in Union County at St. Mark since June of 2013. And so when we went to annual conference in April of 2014, I went there thinking that I would be returned to serve as the pastor of St. Mark, and was surprised to leave that annual conference the pastor of Bethel Asbury Park. And so that's how I came to be at Bethel. And it's been a joy to serve the people of Bethel and to be in Asbury Park.
Now, let me ask you, I didn't have this question on my list, but is your congregation primarily African-American, or is it interracial, or is it, you know, predominantly Black?
It is predominantly Black. There are AME churches that are mixed congregations, but Bethel Asbury Park is predominantly Black.
So since you've been here in the last couple of years, I would even say in the last 5 years, Asbury Park has changed dramatically, wherein, you know, large numbers of African-Americans have left the city. And that's happening, and I think more so every year. Asbury Park used to have one of the largest Black populations in the state of New Jersey, but that population has eroded greatly, I would say, in the last 5 to 10 years. So in your time here as pastor of the church, what changes have you noticed in the city in your years as pastor?
Well, the development that has taken place and is taking place is obvious. You know, everywhere you look, there's something going up, something with respect to housing or businesses. And so there, you definitely see the transformation before you. You know, you have to see the transformation, whether you live in the community or you live elsewhere, but spend a lot of time in the community. All that is going on in the community with respect to development is quite apparent.
So I'm wondering a few things, given that your congregation is largely African-American and the larger numbers of African-Americans leaving the city, how has that impacted the church? Do you see people who have moved out but still come back to church, or are they moving away and not returning?
We have not, at Bethel, we have not been impacted by people relocating. I will say that most of the members of Bethel live in neighboring Neptune. We do have members that still remain and still reside in Asbury Park, but a lot of our members, a lot of our congregants live in Neptune. They at one time, years ago, did live in Asbury Park. But over the years, at some point, and I, you know, for a lot of them, it's been many years, they relocated to Neptune. But we've not been impacted in recent years by those who remain in Asbury Park actually leaving Asbury Park. Our congregation has been pretty stable with respect to, you know, where they live.
That's good news. That's good news. So you mentioned redevelopment, and this phrase, a new book has just come out about gentrification by the shore that focuses on Asbury Park. And I'm actually planning to interview one of the authors or both of the authors of this book. It's called Gentrification by the Shore. And what are your thoughts on gentrification and its impact on the Black community in Asbury?
Well, you know, I know that that's a subject where there is a lot of debate and, you know, people are on both sides of the spectrum with respect to, you know, the what people believe to be pros and what people believe to be cons. My concern as a pastor whose church resides on the west side, my concern is really, you know, what is to come in future years for the residents of the west side. And will people, you know, be displaced? You know, will people lose housing? You know, those are concerns because we have a lot of people, especially in our immediate area. You know, we are on the corner of Cookman and Langford. And if you are familiar with that area, you know, that's an area where there are people in need and in need of housing, you know, most especially. And so my concern as the community continues to transform is that, you know, that we remember that there are people that we want to that we want to remain protected, that we want to, you know, keep in housing and so when I think about gentrification, you know, those are my concerns for our immediate community.
Right. Sure. Definitely. Yeah. It's very much had this conversation with a few people I've interviewed on this topic for the show, and in terms of bringing in improvement and new housing and so forth. The problem is that the older community can no longer afford that housing and they're forced to flee or move away. So definitely a controversial topic. But how has another major topic that has cropped up now, obviously, is COVID-19 and its impact on the African-American community in Asbury Park in particular. I know, for instance, my uncle's church has been, you know, they've been using Zoom and with their parishioners or even, you know, on the phone. They've been using the telephone and Zoom to meet at least for almost the last year. So what impact has COVID-19 had on the church?
Well, concerning how we worship and how we meet, we started out last March. From, I would say, last March through August of 2020, we were meeting, you know, the same way, video conference or phone. We were meeting via Uber conference. That was the platform that we were using. And so it was definitely a shift for us, a shift for the members of Bethel to go from having worship in person to now, you know, having worship over the phone or, you know, on the computer. So that was definitely a shift. In August, we continued with virtual worship. However, we transitioned from Uber Conference to Zoom, and then we also have worship accessible via Facebook Live. And so it's, again, it's a shift. I think now people are used to it, but it definitely has been a shift for us to have worship and to conduct meetings that way.
I know one sad aspect of COVID-19, there's so many sad aspects of it, has been that people who are hospitalized have not been allowed to have family members at their bedside, let alone, I would imagine, ministers come into the hospital. That's a good question. I'm not sure if the hospitals, for instance, are allowing the clergy, you know, for instance, to give someone their last rites in the hospitals, you know. So what can you tell us about that in terms of any experience that you've had with maybe, you know, members of your church, family, or so on? Are hospitals actually allowing people to receive, you know, support from spiritual support?
It varies from hospital to hospital. I have been to see members in the hospital since the pandemic has been going on, but I've not made the number of visits that I would normally make that I made pre-pandemic. Definitely the nursing facilities. We at Bethel, we have a number of members in long-term care. And so that has really been, I would say, a challenge and really hard for me and for the members of Bethel, because Bethel is a church that is used to, and I found this when I came in April of 2014, they really stay connected with those members who are in long-term care, or those members who are at home, those homebound members. And so that has been one of the difficult things for us, not being able to make those visits that we've been used to making to those persons, and the disconnect with those persons. So I think that, again, I've been in hospitals during this time, but I've not been in any rehabs or long-term care facilities during this time. And that is a challenge.
Right. I know I have a friend who his mom is in a long-term care facility. And I think I recall he said that, you know, they brought some of the family members to the window and you could wave and say hi. And it's very sad, especially a community-based church. Something that's central, I think, to the Black church is community outreach. And I'm wondering what that looks like. I would assume that in terms of going to the homes of your congregants and, you know, things like that has probably been curtailed as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We've not been, you know, we've not been making those trips to homes to visit those who are, you know, homebound. And so it's very challenging. And it's interesting because as we go, you know, on a monthly basis to visit those who are home and those who are in long-term care facilities, we often run into or would run into people from other churches doing the same thing. You know, they were there to visit their members. And so I know that this is something that is not only difficult for us at Bethel, but it's also difficult for other churches as well. And so we would, you know, be accustomed to running into certain people from certain churches in the community who were going to visit their members. And so it's a challenge. I know just like it's a challenge for us, I know that it has to be a challenge for those churches as well, because there is that disconnect because we're not able to make those visits.
I'm wondering, have any businesses stepped in? For instance, if you think about with the technology, you know, having church on Facebook, maybe having congregants that don't have access to you know, Facebook accounts, or I know everybody's on Facebook, but maybe not having a computer and then not having access to the libraries if the libraries are closed. I'm wondering, has the church received, you know, any support either from government or individual entities to maybe help close the technology gap?
We have not received any support at Bethel. I'm not sure about other churches in the community, but I know, I know that there is a need. You know, as you said, there are people that just do not have the access that a lot of people have with respect to technology. And so, but we've not received that kind of support at Bethel.
What about another aspect is the thinking about the children and the school system? I know oftentimes many Black churches will have their own daycare, you know, and obviously Sunday school for children. But and you know, AME has a long history of supporting education, you know, higher education and so on. So what about that dimension of it, education? Either within the church or in the community, what impacts do you see that COVID may have had?
You know, our children, a lot of them are doing the hybrid learning. And so there are those who are, you know, in person at times, and then at other times throughout the week, they are virtual. Our young people at Bethel are adjusting, but it, you know, to be educated that way is different. And, you know, I'm sure that the desire is for them, as well as for parents and grandparents, for them to be back in the classroom with their teachers and with their peers and to be able to go back to in-person learning. Our young people at Bethel, they have been getting through this season of virtual learning and you know, from our elementary school children to our middle school and high school and even to college. You know, we've had students to start college during this pandemic, and they've had to make adjustments. The first year of college has not been the year that they envisioned, you know, when they thought about going to college. So, you know, our young people, they've made the adjustments, and, you know, parents and grandparents have supported them as best they could.
So are you conducting Sunday school online too with church service through Facebook?
We are not doing Sunday school. I know that there are congregations that are doing Sunday school. We are doing Bible study. We are doing prayer meeting. We are doing intercessory prayer. Well, our intercessory prayer has always been via phone. And so that has not changed. That has not shifted. And our prayer meeting and Bible study was at one time in person, but of course now we are doing that. You can either phone in or you can video conference in.
So what particular programs, let's talk maybe pre-pandemic, you know, what particular community support programs has your church developed over the last few years since you've been there to support, you know, the community, African-American community?
In 1999, Bethel was blessed with a property that was donated to the church by the son of a former member. And it is not far from the church. And so since that time, Bethel has used that property really as a place of outreach to the community. And for many years now, we have run a food pantry out of the lower level of that property, and that food pantry has existed for a number of years and really been a source of food for those who are in need of in Asbury Park and neighboring communities, been a source of food for quite some time. And so we continue to operate the food pantry. We are down to one day a week as opposed to 2 days a week, which we are accustomed to. However, we, in recent weeks, we have been discussing opening again for a second time during the week. There is a need for us to be open more than once a week. So we have at that site the food pantry going on, and for the pandemic months alone, I looked at the numbers so that I could share the numbers with you. So from last March up to last month, we served over 2,200 families at the food pantry. And so between, again, March of 2020, when the pandemic started, up to this past March, up to last month. And so that gives you an indication of how we are helping to meet the needs of those in our community. On the second level of that site, and we call that building the Ford Center, on the second level of that site, we have operated a clothing closet. And the clothing closet had closed, when the pandemic first started, but we were able to regroup and reopen the clothing closet in November of 2020. And we have, since the clothing closet reopened in November, we've served over 120 individuals, and we've distributed over 1,000 pieces of clothing, over 1,000 clothing items. And so we are seeing, both at the food pantry and at the clothing closet, people that have been directly impacted by the pandemic. I spoke with, I remember on the, I'm not sure if it was the first day or the second day of reopening the clothing closet, I spoke with a woman who had been to the food pantry that week. And she was told when she went to the food pantry that the clothing closet would be opening on that Saturday. And so we talked, and she was there that Saturday morning waiting for the clothing closet to open. And she was able to get items for herself. She was able to get items for her son, and she was able to get items for a friend. And so people, who have been coming both to the clothing closet and the food pantry have been directly impacted by the pandemic. And we've just really been, thankful that we're in a position to assist them.
That's amazing. And I'm sure the community very much appreciates your work and the work of, the church as a whole. Because I can imagine, even though maybe, you're having church online, so that has shifted. At the same time, the need for the community has increased exponentially. I think people out of work. And I'm wondering how listeners might be able to help out or donate clothing and or food items, non-perishable food items.
Well, we welcome people to donate. If people are donating clothing items, of course, we want them to be in the best condition as possible, so gently used. And we do go over all of the clothing items that are donated, and we will only make available to those who come to the clothing closet those items, that are in good condition. And so certainly people can reach out to us via our website, BethelAsburyPark.org, about donating to the clothing closet. Our food items come from Fulfill of Monmouth County. And so, you know, that is our source of food. And we have been connected to Fulfill for a number of years. And so, but we would welcome donations to the food pantry as well.
That's good to know, because we have a lot of local listeners, and I'm certainly hopeful that some of them will be willing to donate to the clothing donations, and certainly during this time when so many people need support. The Black Church has been central, I think. Some have argued the most important institution in Black life historically, although there's debates about its continued or current importance. But I think during the COVID-19, you certainly see churches stepping up and getting involved in these various community activities that are so much needed right now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we also, if I could add, we also have a community garden program. And next to the Ford Center, where we, you know, have the clothing closet and the food pantry, we have a plot of land. And so in collaboration with Interfaith Neighbors, Pula Urban Farm, we started a community garden program where we grow vegetables and some fruit. And so those items are available to the community. And so people can either, get those items through the food pantry during food pantry hours, or they can go to Pula Urban Farm and request items from the community garden. So that has been an opportunity for outreach and an opportunity for us to provide food items to the community.
Oh, that's important. That's great. And in terms of quality food and fresh food, that's definitely important. Community gardens movement. And it's important. It's interesting to see how the AME Church continues to be playing a central role to the development of things like the community garden movement. You know, it's right there in the middle of something that has become, I think, essential to urban living, the community garden movement in places like Detroit and various parts of New York. We see the rise of community gardens. And so given that the African-American population, as we previously mentioned, has continued to decline dramatically over the last decade, can you speculate as to the future of African-Americans in Asbury Park, especially with coronavirus? I'm wondering if, you know, the coronavirus is actually pushing more people out of the city as a result of, I know last summer, at least, I remember going out to the boardwalk and it wasn't, you know, thriving as it usually is, you know, every summer, but it was certainly, you know, crowded enough even amidst the crisis of the pandemic. So can you speculate, you know, as to the future of the African-American presence and AME's presence in the city? You know, what might be the future of African Americans in Asbury Park?
You know, that's a good question. You know, my hope is that there will remain an African American presence in Asbury Park. I think that there are, I think that that will be the case. I think that there are just so many people in the community that are determined that there will always be that presence. That I don't think that we're at risk of there not being an African-American presence in the city. What the community will look like in the future, you know, that's the question. But I believe that there will be a presence I just think that there are enough people that are determined to make that the case. In terms of an AME presence in Asbury Park, I mean, I would hope that 152 years later, Bethel will still be here, be there, and still doing ministry and still trying to, you know, be a blessing to the community. I'm not sure if you're aware, we do have a second AME church in Asbury Park. Allen Chapel AME Church is in Asbury Park. So I think that between Bethel and between Allen Chapel, there will remain an AME presence in this city.
And certainly, as you have mentioned, it's been there for over 150 years. So, you know, as really one of the first Black church in North America, it has staying power and resilience, you know. And it's so important, these community programs that your church is presiding over. And what about, so your services online, are they open to anyone who might be interested in joining, or is it only for members? And
oh, no, anyone can access our worship services. People can access via Facebook. If someone wanted to access us via Zoom, that's possible as well. And again, Zoom, people can access us via phone. They can dial in or they can video in. Most people at this point who access us via Zoom are dialing in. And those who are watching us, literally watching us, are doing so via Facebook as opposed to Zoom. But there is the video option for Zoom as well. And we do have people with us for worship who are not members of Bethel. We have people who are with us from out of state. We have people who are with us who are in the area, who live in the area, but they are members of other churches. So they may worship with their church virtually and then get on with us afterwards.
Actually, so it seems like it might be an opportunity to expand your congregation because of the reach of Facebook or YouTube or Zoom, wherein maybe someone's attending a church that doesn't have that set up, wherein maybe they're just on the phone and they don't have Zoom or Facebook technology. So it might even be an opportunity for growth, actually, just thinking about that, you know, during the pandemic.
Yes, we've been able to, during this time, connect with people that we probably would not have connected with had it not been for the pandemic. So that's one of the good things that has come out of this experience.
Yeah. And, you know, I think many people are starting to talk about, you know, people are experiencing anxiety, depression and grief and sort of a spiritual void. So people are searching for community. And one way or place to find it is actually online. So it might turn out that there's an upside to this crisis that we're living in.
Yes. Yes, I do agree. I think that you know, when the pandemic has been declared over, I think that our congregations will look a lot different than they did pre-pandemic.
Right. I think that's a great point, you know, to make, because you have the ability to reach people all over the world, you know, via Zoom or Facebook. So it's, you know, the global village, as they call it.
Yeah, and this time has really forced people to go virtual. And so my guess is, I know that this will be the case for Bethel, and I would hope that this will be the case for, you know, a lot of churches, that people, when they resume in-person worship, that they will not, you know, let that virtual piece go and say, okay, we're back to in-person. We don't need to make worship accessible, you know, that way any longer. My hope is that, you know, they will still make their worship and all that, you know, their worship, their Bible studies, their prayer meetings, that they will still continue to make those things accessible virtually.
I agree with you, because I think there's so many people who are unable to leave their home, you know, who might say, oh, now I can go to church online and I don't have to miss church just because I can't get up and actually, you know, go to the physical building. And I think that's an important point to be made.
Yeah, this time has forced the church to reinvent itself in a way, and to find new ways of accessing the community, accessing the world, and sharing the gospel message.
So, Dr. Hunter, what is any upcoming events for the church or community activities that you want to tell us about before we wrap up?
We are in the process of, again, working to get the food pantry open a second day during the week. We also are in the process of, we had a soft reopening of the clothing closet in November, but we really are looking to go much bigger, so to speak, with respect to the clothing closet. And we really want to get the word out to the community that the clothing closet exists. So we are, we're regrouping. We are, you know, looking for more volunteers, and we are planning to do an open house probably in June for the clothing closet. And so we just want to take the clothing closet to another level. And so that is something that's in the works. We also, and I did not mention this to you, we have a free community lunch program. And so my hope is that, you know, sometime in the near future, we will get that going again. That's something that we do right at the church, where once a month we feed the community and they're able to come in and have a home-cooked meal and sit and fellowship with one another, and also connect with people who are members of the congregation. You know, there are times when they may be able to get toiletries or coats or, you know, items that are needed. So hopefully that's something that we will resume at some point in the near future. So those are things that we have going on, and we're just excited to be a blessing to the community.
So to our listeners, Bethel AME Church, located in Asbury Park, New Jersey, you can find them on Facebook or Google the church name and try to get involved and donate to these important programs to help support the community during this time of crisis as we continue to face COVID-19 together as a community. Well, Dr. Hunter, I want to thank you for participating in this interview. You know, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We wish you well, and you and your parishioners well, your various programs.
Well, thank you so much. It has really been a joy to be with you, Dr. Williams, and I'm just excited to share about Bethel Asbury Park and to let people know who we are and what we are doing. Thank you.